Day and tune in to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Alrighty, happy Thursday. You are listening to DJ Risque. This is my show, Coping on the Court. Happy Thursday again. Today is 2 days away from Halloween. We are getting closer to being able to let loose and maybe be somebody else for a night. I don't know, you know, be your alter ego for the night, you know, somebody that you don't really want to be, but let it out. Today, I'd like to talk about something that I think that, you know, even myself as a student athlete, as all student athletes that we like to ignore, or, you know, everybody in general that everybody likes to ignore, you know, and that's the hard part, the hard things, you know. And what I'd really like to talk about is adversity, you know, what really happens to us and, you know, how do we really react to it today? You know, as not only student athletes, but students and, you know, people in our daily lives. I mean, I have my best friends and my fiancé aren't in school. So it's, you know, juggling, you know, having a full-time job and, you know, paying all the bills, being an adult. You know, it's everybody, we all deal with it differently, you know. How, you know, for me personally, it would be, you know, I got a big paper, I've got a basketball game coming up, and I've got to go to work, and, you know, my back's broken, and I can't really sleep, you know. I've got all these problems that we've got to juggle with, you know, and at home, it's the same thing, you know. like my wife and my best friend, you know, paying the bills, you know, taking the animals, taking care of our animals, you know, it's we all have so much that we've got to deal with on a daily basis, and then you put into play that, you know, things happen to us that we can't control what happens to us all the time, so things get thrown at us, you know, from left field, and we've got to figure out how to adapt, how to adjust, you know, what are we going to do to make ourselves happy again, what are we going to do to get back to how we're really feeling again, and I feel like that's very important for not only student athletes, but everybody in general, is, you know, to remember, you know, remember who we are inside. Yeah, we've got to remember, you can't lose sight of who you are when, you know, life is throwing a bunch of garbage at you. You're just gonna, you know, wash off the windows and keep going. And so I would like to start with just a little bit about, for me, I think that being a student athlete, and also, you know, I have not been a student athlete, so I do understand, you know, a little bit from both worlds, and definitely it's just different amount of stresses, you know, different kinds of stresses. And I've actually got I was doing a little bit of research about you know, the comparison between non-athletes and student athletes, and I thought it was very interesting because we all have pretty much the same amount of stresses. It's just, what are those stresses? And I thought that was very interesting. I'm just looking through my research here. So we've got, I'll start with the non-athletes, because I think I thought it was very interesting to me. Some of the non-athlete stressors, and sorry, I will recap. I was looking up, you know, some statistics, and I got this from, it's called visual.iy, and the article that I looked up was stress versus college athletes and other students. And so some of the biggest stressors for non-athletes. So we've got finances, obviously. So you've got to, you know, you've got to figure out how you're going to live. I mean, obviously, a student athlete's going to be here on a scholarship, so part of that is paid for. They've got to figure out, you know, transportation. That's another one. So finances, how are you going to pay to get where you need to go? How are you going to pay to get to school? Obviously, you know, if you're a student, you've got to, you know, you've got to pay to not only go to school, but how are you going to get to school? And well, how are you going to pay for it? I mean, you're going to have lots of debts and loans and all. And I could only imagine. I've got that now myself. And so another one on this list was smoking. And smoking, I thought that was interesting because, as it explained on the website, it said not necessarily the act of smoking, but you could typically, or not typically, I'm sorry, there's probability that if you're smoking, if you're a person that smokes, a college student that smokes, you're going to get into either an argument or a confrontation with one of your friends or something over smoking. I thought that was really interesting. It's not even like the fact of smoking and, yeah, it's bad for you, but the fact that you could get in an argument with one of your friends and that was a daily stressor, like, yeah, man, you want to meet up and smoke, and you get in an argument. That's just really funny to me. Another one would be educational decisions. I apologize. That's a mouth twister for me, apparently. Educational decisions. So I could see how, you know, they're mainly described, you know, as a student athlete. For me anyway, I'll use my personal example. You know, I've got, because I am a student athlete, it's very cut and dry. It's this is what you're gonna do. This is the question they ask you: what's your degree? Okay, that's your question, and then they kind of formulate it for you, because I mean, if you're a student athlete, you've got to pass your classes, you've got to be in your classes to be on the court. So it's very important that they make sure that, you know, that's why student athletes, we've always got priority registration or something, you know, we've always got some kind of priority something. And they're investing in us potentially, for they want us to make the school better. And that's what I think is very cool. But I do understand the educational decisions. It's, especially if I weren't playing basketball, it's hard for me to picture myself, you know, even in school, if I wasn't playing basketball. And that's another big factor for it is, you know, and that's another statistic I read from actually the NCAA website is actually it was goodness gracious, it was the oh here we go, it's the 10% of 10% of males and females, I'm sorry, they both say that that school is the way that, oh my goodness, statistic for me, here we are, this is 10%, I was very wrong, okay, 66% of women basketball players state that basketball is important for getting through and preparing us for the future. And for me, that is exactly correct. That was from the NCAA website. And if you don't know what NCAA is, that is the, it is the division in which Division One, Division Two plays in. It's the best division is, it's student athlete organization. It's, man, how do you explain that to not athlete? It's all the rules. You know, everything to know if you were a student athlete, all the things that we are not allowed to, you know, we're not allowed to take. It's the National Collegiate Athletic Association. So this is holds all of the divisions, and it's all of basically all the statistics for, you know, all high school sports, all of the colleges. You know, it's pretty fascinating. All the sports on here is got baseball, basketball, beach volleyball, bowling, cross country. They've got rifle shooting, skiing, soccer, swimming and diving, water polo, ice hockey, golf, fencing. Y'all, fencing. Okay, they have put fencing on NCAA website. That is something that I did not. I'm going to look at that, actually. That's kind of interesting. Oh, my gosh. Columbia wins 14th title in program history. That's so fascinating. We are fencing champion. Oh, I apologize. Fencing, yeah, that's so cool. Actually, I'd love to somebody. If somebody, like, listening to this and fenced, you know, I'd really like. How about you come down to the studio and you teach me how to. Well, we'll set up a time and you can teach me how to fence. And I'll teach you how to play basketball. And then you can make fun of me for doing. You know, sounds good. It's got to be a, you know, give and take. And, sorry. Woo. Okay, back to the NCAA. I'm sorry. It's pretty much got all the NCAA. I'm on the NCAA website. I was trying to validate my statistic here, and I just thought it was interesting that 66% of women thought that basketball helped get them through school, essentially, and that's very true. And so I got a little off topic. We were talking about the stresses for non-athletes first, and I was on educational decisions. That's how I kind of ventured off, because, you know, athletes got priority, and our counselors are always very good with, you know, getting us into the counseling appointment and making our schedules for us. You know, is this class okay for you? So, I mean, yeah, we talk about it and we go through it, but I could see if, you know, you were just a normal student and, you know, we know there wasn't priority registration, it would be increasingly difficult, you know, to figure out what maybe it is what you even wanted to do anyway, you know. You probably go from major to major, and I guess being a basketball player, you know, you're kind of blessed because they kind of put you on the path, you know. If you're going to divert from the path, it's going to hurt you, you know. You're going to have to spend more time, you know, getting your classes for your degree or something silly like that. But I do understand how the educational decisions could be a stressor for non-athletes. And so I'll continue. There's another one. This one is also interesting to me. Physical appearance could be a big stressor for non-athletes. And I was reading on why they thought that was. And that blew my mind because... So they say that non-athlete students. Well, obviously, if you're with an athlete, I mean, we've got on minimum we're allowed to have practice for like 2 hours. If you're practicing for 2 hours and you're sweating, you're gonna be hungry. Aside from being a normal athlete, if you're, you know, sweating and you're running and you're working as hard as you can, you're gonna get tired, and so. in that way, you know, our coaches, they, you know, they kind of take care of us in the fact that they know that we haven't, you know, maybe we haven't eaten, maybe we haven't, you know, I don't know, haven't had enough water. So, you know, we get water breaks and, you know, and then they take care of us food-wise sometimes, you know, and they take care of us. But I can see for a non-student athlete that, you know, you've really got to force yourself to, you know, you've got to force yourself to eat, and not only eat, but it's hard to find, you know, healthy, cheap foods, and it could be increasingly difficult. I know, even for myself to eat when there's not in the cafeteria. I mean, I have a refrigerator, but in my refrigerator is like Gatorade and milk. You know, I haven't got any, you know, like real food, and I can only imagine if, you know, a non-student athlete, like. I mean, they've got to pay for everything, and then, you know, I've got to pay for food in the fridge, and I think it could definitely be a stress. You know, are they going to go to the gym? Do they get relief from going to the gym? I mean, is that something that's helpful for them? I'm not really sure. It's kind of interesting, and I don't really know, and it's weird working out. I apologize. It would be interesting working out, like, because I know for me, I mean, always being an athlete, we've always, you know, it's always kind of like a given. You've got to go work out, you know, or being a basketball player, you've got to, you know, put up shots in the gym, so that's more working out, you know. You've got to put in a little bit of extra time to be better, and, I don't know. Physical appearance, that could be a big one. I feel like if somebody in college, you know, didn't like their appearance, I mean, that's another thing, is, you know, time management in colleges. That's a big one. But I'll go to the next one, because that's a whole different beast on its own. The last stressor for non-student athletes, I'm sure it's not the last one, but the last one that they mention, is being isolated or ignored. And, that's interesting for me, because even on a sports team, it's weird, because it's almost like high school. It's like you have to. Well, I don't click to people. I'm not a cliquish person at all. I don't like to be a part of, you know, the group, and I don't know, it's easier to find, you know, maybe one or two people that, you know, are just, that you can, you know, tolerate. I mean, I don't want to say tolerate that, you know, I mean, I only need, you know, one or two people around me. I've got, you know, back at home, I've got my just a very close group of friends. I've got my fiance and my best friend, and that's, you know, the main, and that's the group. And then we've got, you know, a couple of people that come around the house and, you know, say hello, and it's I just don't see, if, you know, if you're in school and you know, you've got classes, obviously you're going to be around people. You're going to be at least a couple hours a day, you're forced to be with people. So it's hard to say what you're being isolated or ignored. I mean, everybody could say that. You know, you've got to make the effort to say, you know, hello to somebody, or I don't know, just to do anything. You can't really put it on anybody else. You know, if you're not feeling comfortable, that's your responsibility, you know, to find somebody that makes you feel comfortable. Somebody that makes you feel comfortable, and I don't know. It's really funny to explain, because when I first came to Dominican, you know, I kind of felt in the beginning, you know, I'm really lonely, nobody really wants to, blah, 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 but that's all on me, you know, that was up to me to talk and make friends. I don't know. It's kind of hard. I mean, I feel bad because I'd love to be all those people's friends, but it's like we've got to you know, branch out a little bit in ourselves. You got to find, you know, for me, I've got, you know, two people, and now I'm comfortable. Like, literally, if I need to text somebody, if I really am not in a good state in my mind, you know, I'm able to reach out. All I need, you know, one or two people. Like, and it's just, you know, finding a little bit of comfort, but don't let that be a stressor. And I'm gonna take a very quick break and play one of my another one of my very favorite songs. This is for my wife. I miss her, so I'm gonna play this song. DJ Risqué is gonna be right back after this quick break.
Working on empty, is that the kind of way to face the burning heat? I just think about my baby. I'm so full of love I could barely eat. There's nothing sweeter than my baby. I'd never want once from the cherry tree, 'cause my baby's sweet as can be. She'd give me two flakes just from kissing me. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl home to her. First when my baby found me, I was 3 days on a drunken sin. I woke with the walls around me, nothing in her room but an empty crib. Burning up a fever, I didn't care much how long I lived, but I swear I thought I dreamed her. She never asked me once about the wrong I did. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. Body done. If the Lord don't forgive me, I'd still have my baby, and my babe would have me. But I was kissing on my baby, and she put her love down soft and sweet. In the low lamplight, I was free. Heaven and hell were words to me. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl home to earth. When my time comes around, lay me gently in the cold dark earth. No grave can hold my body down. I'll crawl.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to me to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing.
Alrighty, DJ Risque is back. You just listened to Work Song by Hozier. It's like one of my like top 10 personal favorites. I apologize for that. Just moving the mic a little bit. And then you heard about 40 seconds of Hello by Adele. So just getting back to my show. We were talking about tonight. We're talking about adversity and how we, you know, how I'm not really talking about how we get over it yet. I've got a bunch of statistics trying to just put it out there that, you know, there's a lot of things that I personally think that we as people, we just kind of look past, and that I feel like, you know, maybe we should take more seriously for, you know, maybe some more people, maybe it would benefit more people. Just because, you know, just in being here and at Dominican University and being a student athlete playing basketball here, it's interesting for me that you know, just the huge change that basketball, you know, just the whole life, and I don't know, and it's interesting that, well, just the things that we face, you know. I think that for me personally, when I came here, I thought I was a very strong person, you know, mentally, physically, and I thought that, you know, this opportunity, you know, was everything I ever wanted. You know, it's your dream. And isn't it funny, you know, when you think you have a dream, or you know, when you think you want something and then you have it, and you're like, dang, you know, it's just a lot. It's a life change, you know, and that is such a big part why I feel like student athletes, you know, do have so much stress. And I mean, it's to look at the statistics of it. I mean, right here from the visual stress college athletes versus normal students. The statistics said 50% of males and 60% of females student athletes experience heavy stress or extremely high stress related to their sport, with pressure to win, extreme anxiety and fear. And that's, you know, that's more than half of the athletes, you know. That's scary. More, it's weird to think that more than half of the people in my shoes right now are feeling the way, you know, are feeling depressed and anxious. That's you know, it really hurts my feelings, you know. Like, it sucks that, you know, everything that we've always been taught as children, you know, this is your dream, get it, do it, you know. Who would have told us that we've you know, who would have told us that it might make you depressed, it might make you, you know, you might lose yourself a little bit across the way. And I was reading this, I was looking up statistics, I'm sorry, and I came across this. It's called When College Athletes Face Depression. It's on the Atlantic website. It's an educational archive. The URL is theatlantic.com/education/archive. When college athletes face depression. And the very first quote is, this blew my mind, you guys. It was very hard as a man playing D1 football to go to somebody and say, I'm having a hard time. And it's talking about this man. He was from a former Syracuse offensive tackle, Jonathan Meldrum, remembers the scrimmage drill that had him considering suicide. He was a college sophomore, almost 6.5 feet tall, 300 pounds, and one of the school's standout players. And it's listen to this. During the drill, he'd hit somebody, and shortly thereafter, the fellow returned the favor. He hit me back so hard, Meldrum, now 27, told me, and I just started tearing up. If I'd had a gun, I'd probably put a bullet in my head. A bullet in his head. A 6.5 foot tall, 300-pound man, just because of football practice, wanted to put a bullet in his head. That's crazy. My goodness gracious. It's here's another one. This is a good one. I could relate. I dreaded waking up. My body would ache. I felt physically sick. And he said it was very hard as a man playing D1 football to go to somebody's game, having a hard time, you know. And then here I am. I'm feeling sick. I wish I would die. And I have to go out there and hit people? Isn't that crazy? I'm a D1 football player who wants to play in the NFL and I can't stop crying. I just can't even imagine that. Oh my goodness. Oh man, that gets me, even personally. That's crazy. I just can't even picture that. A 6.5 foot tall, 300-pound man just crying hysterically, you know? That's the only reason I'm laughing is to try to keep myself from crying a little bit too. This part of it got me on another one of my on my websites. That got me a little bit more research, where it says, "To be sure, college student athletes as a whole are facing an epidemic of depression. The American College Health Association reported in 2013 that 31.3% of undergraduates surveyed felt so depressed it was difficult to function, and 7.4% admitted to seriously considering suicide." I just can't even imagine. So, of course, I clicked on that link, and I found some more very disturbing statistics. I don't like talking about this, but I think it's important, you know. I think it's very important. So I'm reading these statistics. It's on the American College Health Association board. The actual site that, if you click on the link that I just mentioned in the D1 football player, it goes to, it's called www.thedepressioncenter.org. Okay? And it's pretty... it's definitely eye-opening. So this is... there's all kinds of surveys on this. It's mental health, and I wrote some of this down, and it's so the game plan. This website is the game plan to address student health and substance use issues. So I'll say that again: a game plan to address student health, student athletes' mental health, and substance use issues. There we go. Got it. Oh. And actually, just to give us a little bit of credibility, there's a doctor, Chris Carr, helped write. Barb Hansen, she's the athletic counselor. We've got Kenneth Chu, he's a psychiatrist. And Mary Wilford, hopefully. And she is the NCAA health and safety specialist or counselor, per se. And it was funny because it says NCAA health and safety issues for athletes. And these are their issues, safety and health issues. We've got banned drugs and testing, so obviously we don't want our athletes to be on. We've got anabolic steroids, over the counter drugs. You've got. There's a list right here. Here we go. It's anabolic steroids, amphetamines, cocaine, narcotics, spitting tobacco, although for some reason tobacco, spitting and smoking cigarettes is not banned for athletes. I'm not really sure why. I'm not really sure how that would help us, but whatever. Marijuana and alcohol. So these are all the banned things for athletes. And it's, yeah, so anabolic steroids, cocaine, amphetamines, marijuana, spit tobacco. And yeah, these are all all of these are come on, what's the word I'm looking for? Come on, what's it called? You're not allowed to do it. Banned, sorry. It's banned from the NCAA and many other divisions, sports divisions. And so I would like to another part of my one of these, gosh, I'm so sorry. One of these statistics I thought was very interesting was its aggressive behavior in the last 12 months on this website. And it's been in a physical fight. And these are student athletes. And it's weird because the student athletes' numbers are always higher than the non-student athletes. We've got, so been in a physical fight, 20% of student athlete males have been in a fight, and 12% of non-student athletes. And for females, it's 6% for the student athletes and 5% for the non-student athletes. That's unbelievable to me. Some of these other categories have been physically assaulted, excluding sexual assault, been verbally threatened in an emotionally abusive relationship. That's weird. Women are, the women's statistics high on that one. I hate that, but what can you do? Indicators of depression. These numbers are way too alarming to me. Indicators of depression, okay, for males, females, we've got student athletes and non-student athletes. So, the first category is felt things were helpless. I'm just going to do women because I'm a woman and I'd rather talk about women. I'm going to do both. Males, student athletes, felt things were hopeless. 47% of student athletes. Non-athletes, 58%. Females, for student athletes, 62% felt that things were hopeless. And 70% of non-student athletes felt that things were hopeless. This one, I mean, I think that it would be, it makes sense. Felt overwhelmed by all you had to do. Males, 71%, student athletes. Non-student athletes, 82%. Females, student athletes, 91% felt overwhelmed by what they had to do. Females, 94% of non-student athletes felt overwhelmed by what they had to do. Let's say that there's more of this. So felt depressed, that it was too difficult to function, felt very sad, felt very lonely, felt exhausted, felt overwhelmed by anxiety, felt overwhelming anger, intentionally cut, burned, bruised, or otherwise injured themselves. And that's in like 12 for student athletes, 13 for non-student athlete males, 16 for student athlete females, and 18 for student athlete, non-student athlete females, I'm sorry. Seriously considered suicide. The statistic kind of about it just makes me sad. That 13% of male student athletes seriously considered suicide. That 17% of non-student athlete males considered suicide. That 14% of female student athletes felt like seriously considering suicide. And 20% of non-student athlete females felt like committing suicide. 18%, 16%? Seems like a little much to me. Woohoo! So I'm going to play the rest of this song while I calm down for a second. I apologize. I'll be right back after this break. You are still listening to DJ Risqué and Coping on the Court. It's a little bit rough today, but we'll be right back.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So
doesn't give you goosebumps. If you try to tell me that song doesn't give you goosebumps, I'll call you a liar. Not really. But You are listening to DJ Risqué, Coping on the Corp. And you were just listening to Adele with her new song, Hello. And it's funny. I think that if you listen to that song next time, I think that you should sing it on the top of your lungs. Because if you do that, then you're really going to get the goosebumps. And if you really experience that song with the goosebumps, then you're really going to enjoy it. So I would recommend doing that. I mean, only if you want the goosebumps. I mean, not if you've shaved your arms or legs recently, because it's really annoying. Because then you get, you know, like the bumps, and you're like, I just shaved, why would I want these bumps? But I don't know, it's kind of funny. I apologize. I like to ramble. But if you're listening to my show, thank you. I don't really think anybody listens, but that's okay. It's all for me anyway, right? My education. But I think if I was to look back and listen to these, I'd be like, wow. Kind of like that, exactly. But I'll get back back on track. You are listening to Coping on the Corp. And today's segment is about adversity. And not really about adversity. Yes, about adversity. More like what happens. And I've been going over a bunch of statistics over, you know, student athletes and stress levels, and you know what really happens to us when we are put in situations where our whole lives are upside down, really. Legitimately is our whole lives that are upside down. They're, you know, everything that we've known, everything that I know and am comfortable with, you know, was taken from me. Not taken from me, I'm sorry. I was merely plucked out by the top of my head and placed somewhere else. So not taken, temporarily put on pause. And I could see for a lot of people that being taken from your, you know, your safe place, and particularly for me, taken from my happy place, you know, that it causes a lot of internal turmoil, and it makes daily life kind of difficult, because everything becomes difficult when you don't want to be where you're at, you know. And that's I think if it's, you know, if it's something that's not going right in your head, and you're having, you know, bad thoughts or things that you've never thought about before, you're really depressed, I recommend you either reach out to somebody you're comfortable with, or if you're not comfortable with that, for me, I reached out to a school nurse. You know, the school nurses were able to direct me better to the help that I needed. But please do not, if you're hurting, please do not hurt alone. Please do not hurt alone. I don't want people to hurt alone. If anything, I don't care. You can call me. You can call. I'll pick up the phone. I don't. I'll work on how you can get to me. But if you really are interested in talking to me, I will talk to you. Whatever you need, I will tell you my experience, or if that makes you feel better. I don't know. But if I could prevent anybody from feeling the way that I have felt or I've been feeling, then I will. And I would in a heartbeat. And that's exactly what this show is about, you know, is that I learned today. I did, you know, the last couple of days I've been doing some research for my show today, and looking, you know, at the staggering amount of student athletes that are depressed, or maybe that they don't even admit that they're depressed, and then, you know, they just go through the motions every day, like every other athlete, you know, like we go to practice, we, you know, we go to dinner, we go to bed, we do all the things that we're supposed to do, but, you know, you don't really know much more than that, you know, much more than what they've been doing, what they've always done, you know, what, you know, how is, I don't know, for me, it's just staggering. And I'd like to, you know, just read a couple more statistics that I found today that were really quite astonishing to me. And I'll start from the top. And this one's from mostly from the NCAA website. And out of 433,344 high school girls, 3.8 girls move on to play in college. 3.8 out of 433,000. And 0.9 of those, 3.88, will go into the WNBA. How about that for you? And how about, I've got another good one for you. And how about out of, I believe, 7 million athletes? I'm finding this one. This is a good one. Yep. My goodness gracious. don't write yourself notes because then you get lost in them. Well, I'll tell you this other statistic first. Out of the 541,054 male high school athletes, 3.4 of those will go on to play in college, and 1.2 of those will go on to move into the NBA. Oh, here we go. Here it is. Out of 7 million high school students, less than 2% get scholarships. Less than 2% out of 7 million kids get scholarships. That, it makes me kind of sick to my stomach. Like, especially because when, you know, you grow up and you're on those rec teams, you know. The amount of people that, and what breaks my heart is, I mean, as much as you want to say, you know, there's everybody, there's always going to be, somebody's always going to be better than you. And that's a realization in life, no matter what you're doing. I mean, yeah, I'm the best at me. I am the best at me. Nobody can be as good as me at me. But in basketball, in sports, in something, there's always going to be the prodigy, the epiphany, the that's what I hate. Like LeBron, perfect example, or Michael Jordan, or Kobe Bryant. Like, why isn't there the more of those people? It's that way for a reason. I'm very sure of it, actually. You know, we can't all be Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, or, you know, it's Stephen Curry. It's funny. You know, we all grew up, you know, we all got the trophy. Yay! Everybody gets to celebrate, you know. It's not just one person getting the, oh, I'm the best trophy. It's everybody getting a trophy. But that doesn't really set you up for, that really doesn't set you up for success, because if you think about it, that sets you up for, you know, disappointment and more failure, because what happens when, you know, you get to high school and you don't make the team anymore because you ain't tall enough, or you don't get to play anymore because you're not, I don't know, your mommy and daddy didn't pay enough money for your training, so technically you didn't get to be on the coach's traveling team all summer long, so you didn't get to be his little pet, mate. And it's just funny, you know, you can't teach kids that life isn't going to be fair. How about we start teaching that in school? Hey, kid, your life ain't going to be fair. Suck it up now so you don't get anxiety and depression later down the road. Don't have any expectations because they're going to get shot down. Like, why can't we, like, teach kids, like, realistic things? Like, obviously, it's good to chase your dreams. Like, I will never stop chasing my dreams. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. I'm going to buy a house for me and my fiancé and my dog and my cat. I'm going to buy my mom a Mercedes. My girl's going to be driving a Charger. It's going to happen. Not Charger. I'm sorry, Challenger. She's going to be white. She's going to look sexy in it. But that's besides the point. But those are my dreams. Those are my goals. I will have those things. I will have those things. But it's not all, you know, butterflies and flowers and fairies. You know, there's lots of thorns. There's lots of roses. There's lots of little pricks that want to get in your way, you know. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be something thrown at you that you're going to have to grab. You're going to have to put it in your pocket, and you're going to have to keep walking. You know, above all, how cool would it be? I want to be a motivational speaker. I want to tell kids how it's going to be. You know, I want to inspire them to know that, you know, it's going to suck for a little while. There's going to be moments when it sucks so bad, you're not going to want anything else other than to die. But you can't die. Why? Because it's going to get better. It's going to get better. There is nothing worse than right now, and it's going to get better. I wish that we could post that all over the world, you know, for the people that struggle, you know, the people that feel alone, that hurt. Oh, man. It kills me. Okay, I'm going to stop doing that because I'm starting to get upset. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about statistics. And so I just gave you the statistic that 7 million out of 7 million high school students, that 2% of them get scholarships. And I know that we're all mutually upset by that. And that's okay, because, I don't know, it's going to be okay. And so another good statistic I've got is 1%. Of those 2% get D1 scholarships. So not only does 1% of them get a full ride, so that means there's only a handful 1% out of 7 million of people that will get a full ride to college. That's, I don't know, if you think about all the schools, it's, I don't know, maybe a thousand, a couple thousand. And out of, and what's funny about that is out of, so D1, 1% gets full rides. 82% of colleges are not D1. So out of 18%, out of 18%, 1%, 1% of student athletes, I'm sorry, get scholarships. That's crazy when you think, you could never tell a recreational, you know, kids basketball team that. I'm sure you'd make them quit right then and there. That'd be awful. We don't have a future of kids that don't play because they know they're not going to make it. That's a good job, way to teach America. I've got, you know, some more. I'm going to go back to my statistics from my visual IY stress college, the college athletes versus the non college or student athlete. And it says here that, so 54.3% of freshman males work out to reduce stress. And out of 10 of them say that the stress can be actually helpful and motivating. But for females, only 9 of them agree and say that stress can be motivating. We've got so number one. Oh, this is a good one. We've got the number one. I thought this was perfectly interesting. The number one concern for college athletes is time management. Time management. And I knew that was going to come up because I knew it was going to take the most amount of time. And 40% of males and 50% of females say that that's the number one concern. That's so funny, time management. And it's funny, as I was writing my planner for today, and literally like every hour on the hour I had something to do, and I was just like, holy shit, like, oops.
I didn't say that out loud.
Uh-oh. Anyway, I forgot what I was talking about because I said something. All right. Well, so from that, from the 40 and 50% of college student athletes think that our number one concern is time management. That would be, you know, getting to practice on time, getting classes on time. So part of that is for me being a student athlete. So I've got 17 units. I've got 20 hours a week of work study. I've got basketball each night. 2 hours, 2.5 hours to 3 hours each night, and class all day long. Well, not all day long. We've got a couple breaks, but then we've got, so there's 2 hour like lunch segment breaks. So it pretty much fits like all perfectly together. And like, where's the time to sleep and do homework? And so it's funny, as a student athlete, you know, it's even as a non-student athlete, it's learning how to really, you know, figure out what are we going to do, how are we going to best prioritize our time to be successful, you know. And that's the best part, you know, because we've got to be the best student athletes that we can be. So it's like, okay, I'm going to plan out my day for, I'm going to be successful in, you know, in school. I'm going to go to my class, and I'm going to get all my homework done in the library, and then I'm going to go get some lunch, and then I'm going to go to my next class, and then I'm going to go to my next class, and then I'm going to do some more homework, and then I'm going to get lunch. Or then I'm going to get dinner, I'm sorry. And then I'm going to go to my next class and then go to practice. Where's the time to do homework? You know, where's the time to go to the gym, put up shots? You know, where's the time to, you know, get our stress relief out? Practice is more of a stressor for athletes when they say, you know, let's just go to the gym and work. Like, that would be tight to go to the gym, but I have 40,000 other things that I've got to do. I don't really have time to go to the gym, you know? So, and then practice makes it more stressful. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle, you know. It's how, I don't know, we definitely gotta learn how, you know, that's the most important part. If your education is important to you, you're gonna find a way for that to, I mean, you gotta find a way for your classes to, you gotta get good grades or you can't be here. And so that's the most important part, is, you know, take care of business, do what you gotta do. You gotta find a way. If you're not sleeping, then that sucks, but you gotta do what you gotta do. And I hope that everybody has a wonderful Halloween. You are listening to DJ Risque, Coping on the Court. And you are listening to that live on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'll be back next week, Tuesday, 2 to 3. Listen in. And again, have a wonderful Halloween. Be safe.
Getting engaged is like getting is the first hill of the roller coaster. And you hear those clicking, the loud sound. It's really violent metal. Chunk, chunk, chunk. And you go, what's going on here, you know? Boy, this thing's really, really goes high. And then you go over the top. The wedding is at the top. You go over the top is the wedding, and then you're just screaming.
Well, even if you make plans, you never think you're really ready for marriage.
No, it's like any growth. You can't be ready for it because it's growth. It's going to be new. It's going to be new. You're going to have a new life. You're going to be a new person.
Could make you wait forever, for forever. This is forever. I got you.
If there's a question of my heart, you got it. It don't belong to anyone but you. Hey, if there's a question of my love, you got it. Baby, don't worry, I got plans for you. Yeah, baby, I've been making plans. Oh, love. Baby, I've been making plans for you. Yeah, baby, I've been making plans. Baby, I've been making plans for
my success is about it. I made it. Look, I'll admit it, albeit pathetic, that I'm in my late 20s, still never been to a wedding. Cause the idea of that lobby empty, do not sit with me well. It's not your fault they try to get me, cause I'ma need your sales, cause I'm selfish. And I need you to myself, trying to see you afloat, but don't want to see you sail, cause I failed. And see you about to cry, cause when I enter they city, they leave without they pride. I'm sorry. Are you staring at my comments, fearing it's gonna always be you sharing me with all them? Wrong. How dare I say ignore them? Preparing for that day I leave you here and switch you for them. It's hard, you know, temptation and all. Bitches out here trying to see if my relationship's strong. Get a place in the charts, so run away from your heart. Gave this music my all, nothing is sacred no more. I'm wrong. But I'm promising you better, though. Your friends saying let them go. And we ain't getting any younger. I can give them now, but I can promise you forever.
No.
That's right.
You got it. It don't belong to anyone but you. Hey, if there's a question of my love, you got it. Baby, don't worry. I got plans for you. Yeah, baby, I've been making plans. Love. Baby, I've been making plans for you. Baby, I've been making plans.
The realest shit I ever wrote.
Baby, I've been making plans for you.
The realest shit I ever wrote.
Yeah.